Our gospel reading comes from St. Matthew, the hated tax gatherer whom Jesus gathered in, forgave and called as one of his disciples. And we begin in chapter 18 from verse 21.
Praise and glory to God.
Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times?" And Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. And therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And as he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. And since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had should be sold to repay the debt. And the servant fell on his knees before him and he said, 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him, cancelled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he grabbed him and began to choke him. And he said, 'Pay me back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell at his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me and I will pay you back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay his debt. Now, when the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed, and they went and told their master everything that had happened. And then the master called the servant in, and he said, 'You wicked servant, I cancelled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?' In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers until he should pay back all that he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart." And this is the gospel of Christ.
Praise to Christ, the Word. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I think that Kiwis in general have quite a strong sense of fairness. We are rightly angry at scammers that have stolen money from naive investors or at corporations that hide onerous clauses in that fine print somewhere. Even people that were right behind the government's efforts to protect New Zealand from COVID by strict quarantine requirements were upset at the unfairness of the lottery system. Even people that think that New Zealand should let fewer foreigners in shake their heads when they hear how unfairly migrants are treated by Immigration New Zealand. I think I've only experienced one culture that was more aware of the issues of fairness, and that is the people of the United States of America. I think the concern for fairness also relates to interpersonal matters. When someone pushes into a queue, we are upset. When someone cuts somebody else off, we certainly call that unfair. Maybe it's the focus on sports why here we value fairness so much. After all, without fairness, sport is really not worth pursuing. Well, for a few years, I was a football referee. For those who think they don't know what football is, others call it soccer, but it's the football. And I noticed this demand for fairness all the time. After all, I was told it was my job to be fair, and I was always accused of being unfair. When I started refereeing, I was still a bit naive, thinking that most players actually wanted to be fair, but somehow in their enthusiasm, they committed the odd foul. Well, as I became more experienced, I was astounded at how much players had 100 little tricks to gain an unfair advantage, and they used them quite deliberately. They would constantly push the boundaries of what's acceptable and then claim unfairness when I determined that something was against the rules. And of course, as soon as the referee would turn his head, there were the professional fouls intended to rile up the opponent so that the opponent would then react and be punished for that. Remember, I mainly played, was a referee where they didn't have a video camera always pointing at us. Well, despite the obvious unfairness that was happening during the game, most players generally thought that they were in the right and the others were wrong. After all, we often feel that unfairness most acutely when it happens to us, and we often feel it the least when we are unfair to somebody else. I think that's also the case in our daily lives and in our perceptions of society. When something goes against our own interests, we often see it as unfair and wrong. But when we disadvantage or hurt somebody else, we often don't even notice it. Well, in today's society, many people have a very strong sense of entitlement. That is, they think that they are owed something, that their rights take precedence. At the same time, of course, people today can see the sense of entitlement in others and criticize it. I think that for many younger people today, the concept of entitlement is often easier to understand than any concept of sin. In the past, sin was often equated with going against holy laws or breaking the morals of society. Of course, that's true, but many younger people would ask, well, what's wrong with that? If we see that sin is often the result of entitlement, of people thinking that they are owed something and therefore can behave as they want in their own best perceived interest, then we actually can address some of the root causes of sin. We realize how entitled actions can affect others directly, how they are treated not only unfairly, but suffer as a result of that entitled action and are denigrated. We can see how entitlement as a whole corrupts society, how it brings anger and suffering into society, as well as keeping society as a whole from healing. And if we are a bit attentive, then we can also see how entitlement obstructs our relationship with God. After all, if we think, first of all, that God owes us something, then we are focused on ourselves and cannot see God's goodness, but mainly react in anger. All the injustice, suffering, and enmity created by this entitlement and sin does build up and is like a dam that drowns us and those around us. That's why we need forgiveness. After all, if our rage at the entitlement of others were built up, there would be no release and we ourselves would be defined by our contribution to the injustice of the world. Now, the Bible often compares the wrong we cause by our entitlement to a debt that we owe and that is continually built up. Both individually and as humanity in general, we are hopelessly indebted through the wrong that we do. Forgiveness can turn that around. Our debt that we could never hope to pay is forgiven. The pressure of hurt and anger that suffocates us is released to bring healing to us and to others. Now, for that forgiveness to really bring restoration and health and healing, we need to recognize that we have done wrong, that we have acted with entitlement, so to say. Sometimes we do become aware of the wrong we have done and seek forgiveness. That's in the past they used to call that we have become convicted of our sin. When we recognize our own entitlement and receive forgiveness, it brings us freedom and wholeness. But it's not that often that our conscience tells us to look past our own self-interest. Often we can only do that when we experience forgiveness, forgiveness that allows us to see that we have done wrong against others and against God. It is when we see that someone cares so deeply for us to forgive us that our defenses are down and we ourselves can see our faults. That's also often the case in our relationship with God. when we realize what God has done for us in Jesus Christ to forgive us, then we can look more honestly at our own failings and the failings of humanity. We can see that God takes the wrong of humans so seriously that God is prepared to become human, to suffer and to die for us. God cannot stand our entitlement and the harm it brings to the world. But God does not do away with sin by doing away with the sinner. Rather, God takes the wrongdoings of humanity on himself, deals with sin that way, and forgives us. Our entitled actions no longer haunt us, and our debt is cancelled. Well, that's how we can sing a song of praise such as Psalm 103, which is a psalm that acknowledges and praises God's forgiveness. Note how that psalm moves from praise to the reason for that praise, forgiveness, and then at the end to an acknowledgement of human wrongdoing and human weakness. But through it all, there are notes of joy at the forgiveness we have experienced from God. That psalm notes that forgiveness is part of God's very being, and through that looks forward to God's actions in Jesus. Well, having ourselves been forgiven, we in turn are called to forgive. It is in that way that we bring forgiveness to others. Well, Jesus' parable about the servant who has been forgiven a large debt is quite poignant. How often do we still hold a grudge against others who have hurt us? In our own minds, we compare our own shortcomings against those of others. Well, and the wrongs done by the others, they are always so much worse than ours. However, if we ourselves have experienced forgiveness and are truly grateful, then we can also find the heart to forgive others. Well, the parable ends quite harshly, with the servant's debt still being held against him at the end by the master. For the servant did not forgive his fellow servant. There's even talk about torture, and then Jesus said, "This is how my heavenly Father will treat you unless you forgive your brother from your heart." Well, those are not the gentle words we would expect from Jesus. We would have expected something more encouraging from Jesus. But maybe it's the only way to get the need for mutual forgiveness into our thick heads. It's as if Jesus said, "Oh, you foolish people, you have been given so much, and still you're not prepared to give to others." Maybe it expresses a sense of frustration by Jesus. Certainly, it's a sign of Jesus' passion for humanity. Just like loving parents want the best for their children and also that the children do right to others, so God wants the best for us and that we do good to others. That is why grateful response to the forgiveness we have received is to forgive others.